Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible. Thank you.
Tuning in today, this is Bill Arnold in for Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. We're here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you joined us today, and a very happy day to you today. What day is it?
Thursday,
of course it is. You know, I didn't even know what day it was, but now I do. Without Aaron, I'd be in bad duck soup. Thank you, Aaron.
A bad duck soup.
Exactly. So anyway, I've been so obsessed thinking about the election next week, and I'm on democracy, a little path down democracy lane. So that's what I've been chatting about this week, and I'm going to keep doing it, I think, until the election. Then I'm going to get it all out of my system, because whoever we vote for, it's going to. You have to realize that our past leaders have always been a little quirky, and some have come with kind of fun trivia. If you look in the past, you know Thomas Jefferson wrote his own epitaph, including his many accomplishments, but the one accomplishment he didn't list was being president. How do you leave that one off? James Madison felt his voice was too annoying to become a minister, so he went into politics. Plus, he was also the shortest president at 5'4". I think in today's media spotlight, I would imagine he would be almost disqualified at that height. And John Quincy Adams owned a pet alligator he kept in the East Room of the White House. Come on, how quirky is that, right? And Martin Van Buren, he was the first president born in the United States. He grew up speaking Dutch. How cool is that? His parents were Dutch. If you're having trouble picturing him, think of Grandpa from the Munsters. And you might be able to do it. Anyway, enough of my little trivia down political lane as we're looking at the election next week. We're going to talk about God's favor today. And, you know, do you think that it's performance-based, or do you think that it's a promise that God gives? Do you feel like you've got to do everything you can to try to gain it? So we're going to talk to Kevin Gerald today. He's written a book called Good Things, Seeing Your Life Through the Lens of God's Favor. He's a writer and a speaker, and he encourages others to find success using practical biblical principles. That's what I love about this book, and I've had so much fun with it. And Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you for having us on, and with you as well as your listeners.
Well, you're nice to say that. I started reading your book a couple days ago, and the first thing that I loved was the first verse you opened with, which was, I remain confident of this, I will see the goodness of the Lord, Psalm 27:13. And there again, we're starting off with a promise.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I heard you talking a little bit about this election season and so forth a few minutes ago, and I think if there's any day where we need to hold on to some of those promises about our future and to have hope, it's times like this, you know. So knowing that the psalmist himself, every day wasn't maybe the best day, and every situation maybe didn't bring to him what he was wanting or hoping for, but he was confident. He stayed confident. And I know that's what I'm trying to do, and hopefully the listeners today can be encouraged to do that as well.
Yeah, Kevin, I'd love to hear about your faith journey, how you came to know the Lord.
Well, I'm a second-generation pastor, actually, Phil. I grew up going to church and grew up in a pastor's home, and you know, sometimes, in my case, that was a positive thing just because my parents were the real deal and they were authentic and loved the Lord. And sometimes, you know, it's not that way. Sometimes there's pastor's kids who, through seeing too much or hearing too much or whatever, you know, go another direction. But around the age of 8 years old, I actually gave my heart to the Lord. And started, you know, as I could then, to really learn about and trust in God, and had as any kid does, had some times and seasons that you know, growing spells for me in my walk with the Lord. But that's really where it all began for me, and then I ended up in high school and after high school with some other thoughts and ambitions, but that seed that started a long time before that just remained and grew, and found myself in ministry as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, we have a variety of views on what it means when you hear the word God's favor. And you use a great illustration in the book. I'd love for you to elaborate on this. You'd say that when most people hear the word favor associated with God, they assume it's like a frequent flyer program that can be tapped into once you've logged enough miles on Faith and Works Airlines. You nailed that one, my friend.
Yeah, exactly. They think of favor as something being beyond them, usually, and that's for the people who really rate high and the people who have earned their way through the Heaven Mileage Program. And so I find that a lot of times people put favor in a category that says only the really good, well-behaved people really get God to turn his head in their direction and grant favor upon their life, and I don't qualify for that. So part of the goal is to really understand that favor is an attribute of God. It's part of his character. It's who he is, and that it's not about how good we are. It's about how good he is. And in spite of, you know, our mistakes and our hiccups and our mess ups and our goof ups, God's always still going to have this dynamic favor character that looks in our direction, blesses us when we don't deserve it, is good for us when we haven't earned it.
Mm-hmm. And you've also got a line in this little section that says, wrong assumptions, and I love this, are the termites of trust in our relationship with God. It's such a powerful...
Yeah, exactly. And go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's just a powerful image. I mean, because it's... we all are walking around with assumptions that may not be 100% biblical.
Well, absolutely. And I think for sure when it comes to whether we qualify or not for God's goodness or any blessing from the Lord, I think that's really where these termites come in and chip away at a foundation of faith and confidence toward God by reminding us that we're unqualified and reminding us that we don't deserve it. And those things are absolutely true, but the termites just, you know, they remind us of our human inadequacy in such a way that it often erodes the trust in God element. That even though we're sinners, that he came for us, and he came to bring us what is called the gift of righteousness, or the gift of right standing with God, and not something that we've earned. And so my goal in the book, and as it relates to the section that you're talking about, is to try to dismantle some of those perceptions about God and how we have his favor, and that it's not something that is granted because we earn it, but rather it's a free gift that God has decided to give us.
You have phrased this so well, Kevin, in the book. It says, the actual challenge for us is not gaining God's approval, but rather accepting God's approval. That can be a challenge. We don't accept things very easily.
No, especially when it comes, again, to thinking of the divine being and the perfect God, our creator, and all of his majestic values and things that are very lofty to mankind in terms of a holy God. It's absolutely hard sometimes to expect, you know, that God would be favorable toward me, little old me, this person, you know, on the planet. not only messing up, but one of 6 billion people. Like, well, why? Like, when, you know, there's people that are hurting, there's people that are greater need than me. But so developing the expectation muscle in our life to where we realize we're not taking advantage of anything. We're just simply doing what he wants us to do, that a father wants a child to do, in that, you know, we would expect our father to be there for us. There's one example in the book where I'm breaking that down, Phil, where I talk about how it's right that when a child is in a daycare, for example, and their parent walks in at the end of the day, that parent's eyes will go past all of the other children in the room and locate and find their child. And once a child sees that, experiences it, knows it, they began to recognize and realize that that's my dad. That's my father. He's going to walk in the room and he's going to come for me. And that's what I mean when I talk about expectation, is to just really understand the love of God in a personal way. That he's looking for us and wants to bless us. He wants to do good things in our life.
Mm-hmm. So a child's psyche can be pretty traumatized if there isn't that father figure in their life. I mean, we're talking about this mm-hmm. in such a loving way. It resonates to me to hear that. But what about the person that doesn't have the dad?
Absolutely, yeah. Man, as a pastor, it's certainly very common for that in you know our generation and even previous generations. And you're so right. It's the development of a confidence that they've never had in human form to develop that and understand that's really, you know. In fact, Jesus said, if an earthly father desires to do good, not all earthly fathers desire to do good. But
that's true.
He was trying to create an illustration of a good father, a good, good father. So he's trying to take us down that road to say, hey, if you can imagine a good, good father, maybe you've seen good, good fathers. Mm-hmm. And maybe you have a friend who has a good, good father. If you can go down that road with me and then follow up with the idea that if an earthly father desires to give good gifts or do good things for his children, how much more does our heavenly father desire? That was Jesus's way of trying to really put it front and center and give us a mental assignment to think about God in that way.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Kevin Gerald. He's written a book called Good Things, Seeing Your Life Through the Lens of God's Favor. We're going to take a short break and be right back. You're listening to Live the Promise. Thanks for being with us today. Plain and simple, favor is promise-based, not performance-based. And the challenge for us is not gaining God's approval, but rather accepting God's approval. Those are words coming from Kevin Gerald. He's written a book called Good Things, Seeing Your Life Through the Lens of God's Favor. And Kevin, I want to get back to talking about God's favor. And just specifically again, can you tell us exactly what you mean by that?
Well, when we talk about God's favor, I like to, first of all, just identify what I call the tree of family favor.
Okay.
That's in Scripture, because God thinks in terms of family,
mm-hmm.
and he sees us as his sons and daughters. It just feels like a quick way, you know, to help people get to the idea of God's favor. And what I'm referring to when I talk about God's favors, I'm talking about a relationship that we have access to because we are born into God's family. And, yeah, we start off as the creation of God and in some ways the sons and daughters of God. But when we identify with what we would refer to as our father of the faith, being Abraham, what we're doing is we're connecting to this tree of family favor. And by putting our faith in God and putting our confidence in God, putting our trust in God, that's where I like to go when I think of God's favor and legitimizing it, mm-hmm. you know, in my own life, is that, hey, I'm a son of God, I'm a child of God, and it's just really, really natural that I would be the recipient of my Father's favor in my life.
Oh, I love that. You know, in your book, you talk a lot about God being good, and I always think that those are two pretty big obstacles when it comes to sharing Christ with someone, is there are two things they wonder. Is God good, and can he be trusted? And so the question is, if God is good, then why is there going to be so much hardship in the world and in my life?
It's really such a fair, you know, rational reasoning for people in society who see so much havoc in the world and problems, not only in their own everyday life potentially, but, you know, they see in other countries, they see children suffering. They see and maybe even are familiar with, in their own family, with really good people going through really bad things. And so good people hurting and diseases and sickness. And it's not an unreasonable rationale for us to have as far as humans. And I respect it, especially those who have not encountered the perspective I'm sharing in the book. But what I want to say about my book and be really honest with people is that my book is not an attempt to answer the why. There's some really good books out there that go after the why. My book is more about eliminating the if in your life and getting past the if God is good. That just being able to drop that. So my book is more about reasoning on the goodness of God and research that I've done on the goodness of God and bringing it up next to the bad of the world, and not trying to say the world doesn't have a lot of bad, but trying to raise the awareness that although the world is dark and evil and troubling and difficult, I don't need to deny all of that to really see the goodness of God. I just need to be able to feed and fuel my awareness mm-hmm. of God's goodness. And if I can do that, then I enter into in 150 years ago or so, this question existed, and theologians came to what's called theodicy. You can Google it or look it up. Our listeners could listen to it today. But theodicy is the awareness that the world is hard, but God is good. And we oftentimes now hear that said a little bit different, but, you know, life is hard, but life is good, or, you know, something along those lines. But the original concept was a group of theologians and believers who went to work to help people understand that the presence of problems doesn't mean the absence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a lot of times it's more about raising our awareness and really keeping the awareness of the evidence of God's goodness in our life. And that's really what my book is more about.
Mm-hmm. And Kevin, I just love that because you make a point of saying we have to accept God's approval. And that's once you accept that and understand the foundation of it, you've got a lot of richness there that will sustain you for the rest of your life. Because you say in the book, we are conditioned by life to seek approval, which means we live from the premise that we don't have it. Ouch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's once you have it, once you realize it, and I would even have to say, as a student of this and one who teaches it, talks about it, I find myself sometimes slipping into the old. the old mindset, where I realized, oh man, I've lost my confidence here, and where my positioning and my foothold. Somehow I got out of bed this morning, and maybe before I realized what was going on, I was carried, you know, downstream with life, and ended up not being as aware as I want to be of that. Who I am, and who I am to God. And so I love the scripture too in Psalm 30, Bill. It says, Psalm 30 verse 5, it says God's favor lasts a lifetime.
I love it.
In fact, the first part of it says God's anger lasts a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. And that's the balancing dynamic, you know, that I really try to remember and recall and draw from in my life. Is that when you say a lifetime, that means through every scenario, every situation, it doesn't run out. Like God's goodness doesn't run out like your gas tank does. God's goodness continues throughout your entire lifetime, regardless of economies and politics and your own failures and what you did or didn't do. It's constant. It's like I was here in Washington at a waterfall called Snoqualmie one day, and as I was standing there watching, this was a few years back, and just watching, I'd taken some friends up there, and I was watching the water come over the edge of the waterfall, and I just felt like God, you know, I felt like God spoke to me and in that moment and said, Kevin, my favor's like this waterfall. The water you see coming over today, it's not the same water that came over the falls yesterday or last week or 10 years ago. And you're going to walk away, Kevin, and tomorrow this waterfall is still going to be flowing, next week, next year, and so forth. It just gave me an imagery of the freshness of God's daily provision of favor in our life.
Yeah. 71 million gallons of water go over those falls every minute. And I love that you came up with the favor faucet, and you put that in your book, because the favor faucet is always turned on. The fact is that God's favor is ongoing and never ending, never runs out, is always around us. It's not for only one season of our lives. And one of the questions I want to ask next, and we've got very little time before we go to break here, so I'm going to get you started on this one. But how can someone know God's favor when they're in a season of discomfort, or suffering, or depression?
Well, I think the way that we know God's favor, the only way, I should say, that we know God's favor is to recognize God's favor and identify what God's favor looks like. And we can talk certainly a whole lot more about that and unwrap it.
But I want to.
If a person, first of all, says, you know what, I'm not seeing all the good, then that's a good starting point.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Those seasons.
We'll pick that up after the break. We're talking to Kevin Gerald, his book, Good Things, Seeing Your Life Through the Lens of God's Favor. We've got several copies of his book we can give away. Email Aaron at myfaithradio.com. Put Good Things in the title. Make sure you put your name and address in so we can know where to send it. Listen to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold in today for Susie. Be right back. We're talking to Kevin Gerald today. He's founder and pastor of Champion Center, one of the largest churches in the Northwest. He's written a really great book called Good Things, Seeing Your Life Through the Lens of God's Favor. Just understanding that we need to accept God's favor. It's a promise. We don't have to go try to earn it, all right? I want to pick up our conversation, Kevin. Before the break, we were talking about how can someone know God's favor when they're suffering?
Right. We were discussing the fact, or I said actually before the break, Bill, I mentioned that the knowing that in the hour of suffering that you're not seeing all of the good is a great number one. It's a great starting point. And Romans 8, 28, familiar to many people, but that verse says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And he says, and we know that in all things. And that's the reference biblically to what I'm encouraging people to realize, that in the season of suffering, to know that if you're not, to realize that if you're not knowing that you're not knowing what the Apostle Paul referred to here, that's what you want to know. You want to know that, hey, I'm reading this in Romans 8, and it tells me, and I'm going to believe it, that in all things God works for the good. It's a perfect starting point then to be able to see God in the middle of the suffering, and to see God showing up in the middle of the struggle. I have in a section in the book, it's called Chapters, and I talk about how, just like a good book is made up of many chapters, so a good life also has many chapters, and how that, you know, and whether it's a book or a movie or whatever, if there's no plot to it, we probably wouldn't spend the time watching the movie or reading the book. Or, you know, anytime it's an autobiography about somebody's life, what really draws us in is the season of difficulty, challenge, and adversity. And so I just talk about how that in really a good life, the best life, there are going to be chapters in your life that are just a chapter. They're just a chapter. You know, they're not your story.
Right.
And I think that's the huge thing when we're going through suffering, is to know, okay, this is just a chapter. It's just a chapter. And if I can look for God in this scenario and realize that on the other side of this chapter is my life story, and that God's working something good in this chapter. And I love to remind people, Bill, that some of the worst chapters in your life actually make the best stories.
Yes. I just love the fact that you said it's just a chapter about four times, because I think we need to hear that over and over, because we're not defined by our mistakes or our difficult seasons. You don't live by those labels. You live in God's promises and favor.
Absolutely. And you don't decide the chapters either. You only decide how you frame those chapters. And so you don't know, and I don't know what we're going to face next and what chapter we're going to be in. But hopefully we're going to frame it in the context that God is faithful and God is working something good. Even in this chapter, it's just a chapter.
Mm-hmm. That's what I love about this job. I get to talk to people that say the most meaningful things to me. I mean, I get to be the one that goes, wow, you're speaking directly to me on this, and you're giving me so much hope that I can understand that there is new ways I can look for God's goodness. You give a really great illustration in the first chapter about the first time you tried on polarized sunglasses, and when they take out the horizontal lines, you really see in a way you've never seen before. And you say the reality is that people don't see what they don't see. So talk about how you train yourself to be more intentional in seeing God's goodness.
Yeah, I love, when I talk about that, by the way, I still have those sunglasses.
Cool.
And it was my first experience.
I bet they went out of style. Now they're back in style, aren't they?
I don't know if they're back yet. They definitely went out.
Yeah.
But you know, it was my first time to put on a pair of polarized glasses, and what I was seeing, it was there all along. I just wasn't seeing it.
Right.
And that was what was so magnificent to me, was that, hey, it was there like 2 minutes ago, but the power of the polarized lens eliminated, you know, it eliminated that distortion that's created from reflective light.
Right.
It cut right through it, and now I'm seeing clearly stuff that was there I just wasn't seeing. And that's how I like to think and love to think about God's goodness in our life. And then, like you mentioned, once I'm really aware that, hey, there's stuff I'm not seeing, I have to decide that I'm going to be intentional about it, and I'm going to start looking for what I'm not seeing now, and I want to see it and I want to celebrate it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see it and I want to celebrate it. If I see it and celebrate it, then I'm becoming what I call being favor-minded. And I'm literally beginning to change the dynamic within my own mind, where now I'm becoming more aware, and my reticular activators, what it's called, that we all have in our brain, is now saying, oh, Kevin wants to see more of the good.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes to work to show me actually more of the good, because yesterday I started actually celebrating more good things, little things, good things. They're small, but they're good things. And now I'm seeing it, I'm celebrating, and my own mind now goes to work on my behalf to show me more of what now it knows I want to see. So I hope that wasn't too deep or fast or
no, it was
confusing.
Awesome. No, it was really good. All right, now I feel like I have to take a short little 1 second break, because what I'm going to say next is so significant. I just want to clear some space here to let everyone hear that when you say, Kevin, what we attract into our lives is not based on what we want, but on what's inside of us. See, I just wanted to put some space on that, in front of that, because that's so big. All right, start into that.
Yeah, Jesus said this. He said that your eyes can be good or your eyes can be bad, okay? And then he literally breaks it down and tells us that if your eyes are good, then you're going to experience good. But if your eyes are bad, you're going to experience bad. I'm so sure and so certain, especially after researching it, Bill, that Jesus was actually, he wasn't talking about our physical eyes, but he was talking about the way we see the world. Okay, the way we see the world. So our outlook, our perspective, and he was addressing for us that we literally open up the opportunity for our inside, and I want to say this as quick as I can, but clear as I can, for it's like when your eyes are bad, it's like somebody closing the shades on your soul and on your spirit man, and there's like a darkness that begins to come in, because what your outlook is and what you're seeing is the bad, the negative. So we experience then a darkness on the inside. If, on the other hand, he says your eyes are good, it's like opening the shades on your soul,
mm-hmm.
opening up the shades in your heart. And I love the psalmist. I'm going to jump over real quick to Psalm 23, because the psalmist says, he starts off talking about how blessed he is in Psalm 23, and then he gets to that fourth verse down, and he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. My rod and my staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. So it's like fourth and fifth verse, he's being real. He's being honest.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, you know, every day is not an easy day, but I see the rod, and I see the staff, and I see the table that you prepared before me in the presence of my enemies. And to be honest with you, Phil, I've had a lot of times when I've been in the valley and I haven't seen the rod and the staff.
Mm-hmm.
I've been surrounded by enemies and I haven't noticed the table that God set for me. So he makes me want to see it, and then he makes me want to go on to, you know, the next verse, the final verse of Psalm 23, is he boldly declares, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. So it's like, He includes the easy day with the tough day with the bad day. But on the tough day, he is seeing God's goodness, and therefore he's drawing in for his future. He's drawing into, a future of hope and promise.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. That's really good, Kevin. You know, when you talk about outlook and perspective, I mean, if I like 90% of you, but 10% bugs me, why am I thinking about the 10% so often.
That is so true. And human nature, some more so than others. I like to tell people when I'm talking about this that if you're one of those listeners who is saying, well, you know, Pastor Kevin, that's just the way, you know, I'm wired. I tend to see the glass half empty, not half full. And I want to just say to anyone out there like that today, shame off of you. I'm not here to condemn you. I don't know what you've been through or what you faced, or if it's just a natural part of you that, you know, that has a bend toward the half-empty glass or the difficulty or the negativity or the 10%, like you said, Bill, that's wrong mm-hmm. in life, right? Or in your wife or your husband or a person. Maybe that's a bend of somebody, and I'm not here to condemn you, but I am here to say to you that your life and your future will be different if you can learn and train yourself to start seeing more of the good. Your marriage will be better, your job will be better, your relationship with God will be better. So as I go down that list, I'm thinking, why wouldn't anyone want, you know, to welcome a new perspective and a better perspective into their life?
No, so true. Kevin, I want to ask you a little bit about what can we learn from God's provision of manna in the wilderness as it relates to God's favor and blessings in our lives?
Well, it's a picture of God providing daily. You know, they're in the wilderness. They're going from a land of slavery to the promised land, the children of Israel were. And it was really supposed to be an 11-day journey. And it, you know, it turned into 40 years of circling around in a wilderness. And I think what we can learn is that we have a part to play, you know, in God's plans for our life, and that we're not here to say that, hey, you can think any way you want, do anything you want, behave any way you want, and you're going to experience the fullness of God's favor in your life. We're here to literally say, you know what, God is who He is. He has fixed Himself in a place of favor over us. His desire is to do good things. He is that Father we talked about earlier who wants to do great things for all of us. Our role in this process is like the children of Israel. Let's not get confused or burdened down or worried about adversity and enemies and problems and things that we're facing right here. Let's hold to the promise of God who says, hey, I've got a better place I'm taking you to. Trust me. Stay encouraged, face your giants, face your challenges that you're going to face day by day, but don't lose your confidence that I'm here for you, I'm with you, I'm going to bring you through everything you're going through, and in the meantime, I'm going to sustain you on a daily basis with manna from heaven. You'll never go without your need and your provision being met. If you'll keep trusting me, I'll provide for you daily. Fresh, new things that you need in your life, but ultimately, I'm going to take you to a better place.
Kevin, I'm learning so much from you, and you're encouraging me so much today that I'm going to tell management they don't have to pay me today. Okay, just kidding. I got that out of my system. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, more with Kevin Gerald. You're listening to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold in for Susie. Be right back. Life through the lens of God's favor. That's what we're talking about today with Kevin Gerald. He's written a book called Good Things. And Kevin, we don't have much time left. This hour's gone quickly. But I want to ask you about the importance of honoring people in our lives and how that connects to
favor. I'm so glad you got that in. Yeah. Honor is something that's above and beyond a smile. I like to say to people, hey, let's honor up, let's honor down, and let's honor all around. We're not talking about just honoring, you know, a person because you have to. But let's honor God's creation in the people around us. And honor is not something. A lot of people think that honor is something people got to earn honor. No, people earn respect, but let's not make them earn honor.
Mm-hmm.
Honor is an attribute of God. It's God's nature. And I believe that when we honor the people in our life, we literally create a place for God to actually bless our own lives. I'm just so sold on the principle of honor that it resonates with God. It's like if you have a son or daughter, going back to the father dynamic, and you're listening to me today and you have a son or daughter, you love it when you watch your child enter into maybe a classroom or place like, and someone takes time to notice them. Someone says, "Hey, give me a high five, partner." You know, just someone who actually show, and that's what I mean by honor. I'm not talking about some kind of stoic, form of honor ceremony. I'm talking about the everyday generous in gesture forms of honor. And I believe when we do that, it really creates a place and a space in our life to be honored by God in new levels of honor.
I love that. You talk about employing a forecast of favor. I don't know what that means, but I want to hear. And what is it, and why is it so powerful?
Well, it's prophetic in nature. And the minute I say that, I know that people are like, oh, whoa, you know, some people, in other words, would be like, whoa, you know, prophecy, prophetic. And so I'm prefacing it by saying that I believe we all are prophesying every day. It's just, what are we prophesying? And you've heard someone say, I'm really afraid that if I do thus and such, then thus and such is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm really worried about this, Bill. I'm really worried, Bill, that da 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 da. And so I think we all prophesy. It's just, what are we prophesying?
Mm.
The goal of that chapter is to say, hey, come up alongside your natural worries, your natural fears that you have. Come up alongside that with a willingness to forecast favor, to really say, hey, I believe God's going to see us through this. I believe God's going to help us. I believe God's going to give us the right thought at the right time. I believe God's going to open up some doors for us, guys. Let's just do our best here, and let's believe God's with us and God's for us, and I believe God can provide, you know, man in the wilderness. We might go through some tough stuff, but that's what I mean, Bill, when I say forecast favor.
Mm-hmm.
Say things about tomorrow that include God's favor in it, and don't be afraid. Don't hesitate to, and again, that's really what that is being prophetic. It's using your voice of prophecy in a way that opens up the door for God to do something significant and good in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it also encourages you, by the way, in the process. You're encouraged. You might be facing something tough, but when you just are bold enough to say, a lot of times we explain a problem. We'll say, you know what, I'm really up against the wall. And then we kind of stop there. How about we add another few sentences and we say something like, I'm really up against the wall, but I really believe that somehow, some way, God's favor is going to shine on me. We're going to experience favor through this whole deal. And those are the things that I'm talking about when I'm talking about the forecasting favor.
Yeah. So if you really do believe you're the beloved, you would want to talk that way.
You do. And you want to say it in a way that's really natural. At least I do. I want to say it in a way that's relatable and natural. And I don't need green glow paint on my wall every night to know that God's with me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need some special sign. I already got His promise. I already got the reliability of His word in my life. And so now it's my job to expect that God is for me and with me, and talk that way.
Mm-hmm.
Speak that language.
Yeah. We don't have tons of time left, Kevin, but I do want you to tell the listeners your story about your mom when she wasn't able to be present at your daughter's wedding because of an illness.
Well, my mom had been diagnosed by the doctors and as not being able to travel, and so she was really a very special mommy and grandmother, and it really was difficult for her from St. Louis. We lived in Seattle at the time, and so it was difficult for her living in St. Louis to think that she wouldn't be able to come to the wedding in Seattle. So if she's accepting that information, accepting those news in the 2 weeks prior, really, to the wedding, we started all trying to support her and say, hey, how about we put it, you know, where you can watch it on a live. Our church has the ability to create a live stream sort of option for you to actually be at the wedding without actually being there. And so, you know, my mom and dad were really excited about that. But the part that I share in the book is that how that evening, and I only found out this later from a friend who was in the home helping them with their meal, my mom and dad with their meal that evening. But my dad came out of the back room, and he had on his suit and his tie, and pulled up a chair, and that friend was just watching from the kitchen and thinking, well, what's she doing? And pulled it up in front of the monitor and the television screen there where some of his friends had prepared the video to be watched, and it was a live stream, actually, to be watched. Then my mom came out and sat, you know, next to my dad, and that story is just resonated so much in our family and our life with my parents at a time of real difficulty and a time of real disappointment, actually, you know, dressing for the occasion and putting on their best clothes as if they were actually with us 2,500 miles away in Seattle. And sitting there and wiping tears from their eyes and being part of my daughter's ceremony, it wasn't the way they would have chosen it, but they made the very best of that circumstance and that situation. And so I just try to help people understand that we can have hope in every circumstance, and that's what it looks like. It looks like not just accepting the information that we have sometimes as being, oh, wow, I'm really disappointed, but actually saying, what can I do in the season of disappointment that would cause me to respond in a hopeful way and have the best in the current circumstances? And now here we are sharing that story to encourage somebody else. My parents never thought of that or did it because of that, but that's what happens in our everyday life when we do hopeful things.
That's so sweet.
It literally encourages somebody else.
Kevin, would you pray for people who might be suffering from not feeling God's favor and help them to just accept God's favor?
I would love to do that. Father, thank you for this opportunity I have today. And thank you, Lord, for our listeners out in the land who are listening to us. And God, I just pray for the man, the woman, the young person, the family, whoever they might be, that today they're discouraged, they're in a valley in their own life, they're facing challenges and suffering, and I pray today they might experience, God, through this time we've spent with them, an encouragement that would stay with them and remain upon them to discover your goodness even in the dark times of their life, not only to sustain them, God, but to bless their life in a rich, new, fresh way. And I thank you for that today, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Bill.
Kevin,
really I enjoyed being with you.
I just
today.
Felt like we sat down at a table and had a cup of coffee and talked about God's favor today. You've just been wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the show. Talking to Kevin Gerald, his book, Good Things, Seeing Your Life Through the Lens of God's Favor. All that will be up on the website at myfaithradio.com. Go to the show page and you can send this show out to someone you'd like to have hear this episode. That concludes Hour 1. Coming up next, David A.R. White. He's the producer of God is Dead. Written a book called Between Heaven and Hollywood. So we're going to have a lot of fun coming up the next hour. Thanks for listening today. Bill Arnold in for Susie. Hope you're having a great Thursday. We'll be right back.